God's still on the throne. Amen. Have your Bibles tonight, and I trust you do. Turn with us to the book of Isaiah, and then we want to go back to the book of Ezra. The Lord will help us for a while, and I trust He will. Amen. Isaiah chapter 44 to begin with, and the last verse in chapter 44. And then reading on into verse 45. Amen. Is this on? Let's see here. There we got it. All right. Isaiah 44 and verse 28. Thus saith, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. And thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down the righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Amen. Go back to Ezra. Chapter 1. Verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I appreciate the Word of God, don't you? I'm amazed sometimes at what we find in this book. God still has everything under control. Amen. The Lord help me tonight. I want to talk to you about gates of brass and bars of iron. Amen. This city that Cyrus was destined to take control of and enter into it was a huge city. But there's nothing impossible with God. You believe that? Say amen. I said there is nothing impossible with the Lord. Sometimes we in life, we see our lives as problems and troubles that come our way. But there's nothing that's too big for God. Amen. We just learn how to trust Him in spite of all the circumstances in life. Amen. This man, Cyrus, I'd like for us to look at him for a few minutes tonight. He's quite a man. As best as I can understand, I think that the knowledge of God, Jehovah God, was given to him probably by his mother, Queen Esther. If you know anything about your Bible, you certainly know about Queen Esther and King Ahasuerus, and Mordecai and Nehemiah perhaps might have had some input in his life. I don't know all about the early life of Cyrus, but there are things about this man that we need to look at if the Lord will help us for a while this evening. Amen. God takes care of His children. Do you believe that? Amen. Are you His child? You're the apple of His eye. Amen. There are difficulties that come to every one of us in life. Some of us go through a lot of things in life that we don't understand. And I'll tell you, I've encountered a lot of things in life that while I was going through it, I just didn't know why. And had the tendency, like everybody else, to question why. Amen. But God still has everything in control. The Bible said the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. There's nothing that overtakes you but what He's aware of. He knows where you are. Sometimes we think He doesn't, but He does. He knows where you are. Amen. And I'd like for us to notice who these wonderful words of promises was given to tonight by God. Amen. To Cyrus, a Persian monarch. Amen. A king of Persia. Amen. God promised great things to this heathen monarch. We at least we would think he was heathen, because he was from the country or the empire of Persia. Amen. But he was a chosen instrument of God long before he was ever thought of and ever born. God called his name in divine holy writ. Somebody say amen. He has a great work to do. Amen. He is to overthrow the great Babylonian Empire, Chaldean Empire, to take the city of Babylon. What a city Babylon was. Amen. And restore the children of Israel to their own land. That's quite an order to try to achieve. Amen. 150 years. This boggles the mind of sociologists nowadays. Amen. But 150 years before Cyrus was ever born, God called his name in the Holy Bible. Amen. Called him by name 150 years before he was ever born. Amen. Hallelujah. God called him by name and told what he would do. Praise God. In 180 to 200 years before he accomplished, amen, this a great challenge, amen, in his life. God told what he would do. God said, told what the gates of brass and bars of iron, the material it would be made out of. Amen. Almost 200 years before it ever happened. Now I want to tell you tonight, God still has everything under control. Amen. Come on. Y'all stay with me tonight as long as you can. Amen. I know in America, help me here. I'll probably get in trouble before I get out of here. Amen. We have a tendency to put our trust, amen, for leadership in Democrats or Republicans. Come on here. Amen. But I want to tell you, God still got everything in control. Amen. Both of them's going to disappoint you. Amen. Help me here. Y'all stay with me. Amen. But God will never disappoint you. Amen. Look on every piece of currency that you have in your possession. Amen. It's inscribed, "In God we trust." praise God. And if you put your trust in anything or anybody beside God, you're going to be disappointed in life. Amen. But God still got everything under control. Praise God. Amen. God even gave details of the material these gates were made out of. Amen. Years before they were ever built. Nothing takes God by surprise. I've been surprised a lot of times in things and people. Of course, y'all probably never have been surprised by people down here. But I've been surprised by people up home. Amen. But nothing takes God by surprise. Amen. He's still got everything under control. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, when you get up in the morning to go to your respective jobs, amen, God knows where you're going. Amen. God's got his hand upon your life. You are a chosen vessel. Amen. You're in the hands of God. Amen. And Cyrus was to rescue from captivity the two tribes. Amen. Of Judah. Amen. Judah and Benjamin. And as a punishment because of their sins, amen, had been taken captive down into Babylon for 70 years. They'd been down there oppressed by the Babylonians. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But Cyrus had a work, amen, destined to do, that God gave him the orders. The orders did. Come on, y'all still with me? Orders didn't come from Republican and didn't come from the Democrats or the Independents. His orders came from God. And when God gives you a destiny and a report, amen, or a job to do, he will equip you to do and accomplish what he's called you to do. Amen. So work, such a great work, that he could not accomplish it, could not do it. Amen. Could not perform it unless he was especially helped and aided by God. Amen. Babylon's walls were 85 feet thick. Amen. 200 feet high. Amen. Surrounded by a wide ditch of water. Amen. We'd modern time call it a moat. Amen. And defended with 100 gates of brass. Amen. And bars of iron. How is he going to get through these walls and gates of brass to take possession, amen, of what God said he was to do? Amen. Help me here. Amen. Oh, when I look at this city, amen, and I realize that God gave him the instructions. Now, I want to tell you, there's things in your life that you come up against every week or every day or every month in your life that you don't know how you're going to get through it. Amen. I will assure you, amen, we've got a fortress to take spiritually. Amen. To take a hold of it. Amen. We've got to have the help of God. You talk about trouble. Amen. I talk to pastors and preachers all across this country. Amen. On a regular basis. And every one of them practically has said they have never seen such a time. Amen. In their life to keep people together. Keep them in the house of God. Keep them praying. Come on here. Keep them doing right. Amen. There's problems galore. Amen. You don't know always how to deal with it. Come on. Y'all stay with me. But I want to tell you, we got to have God's help. Amen. We've got gates of brass and bars of iron sometime that we've got to break through. Amen. And we don't always know how we're going to do it. Amen. And how we're going to accomplish it. But God's our strength. God's our help. Amen. You believe that? Say amen. If you don't get help from God, you're not going to have any help. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, years ago, if you know anything about history at all, Amen. In World War One. Amen. In what they call the Battle of the Marne. Amen. On September the 6th, 1914. Amen. There was a French general by the name of General Foch. Amen. He was at odds. I mean, the opposition was against him. He didn't know what he was going to do. He radioed back to the Allied headquarters. Amen. And said, my center is smashed. My right wing is rolled up. Amen. My left wing is destroyed. But the prospects of victory has never been greater. I have ordered an attack. Hallelujah. Amen. And he did, and he won that battle. I want to tell you, amen, we cannot afford to get down in the mully grubs and let the enemy of our soul run over us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the prospects of victory has never been better. Amen. We certainly have a problem in our generation dealing with problems in life. Amen. Anybody here don't have any problems? Well, glory to God, I'm in the right congregation. Every one of us have had things that we have to overcome. Amen. Some of you have heard about a pigeon by the name of John Silver. Amen. Wow, what a pigeon. I've raised pigeons most all my life, and some of you know that. Amen. I love racing home in pigeons. And I preached a message on it several years ago. But on October the 21st, 1918, at 2:35 p.m., amen, John Silver was this pigeon's name. Amen. You see, if you don't know anything about homing pigeons, amen, when you turn them loose, you can, if they're raised right here, I can take them up to my home 200 miles away, turn them loose, and they'll come back here. Amen. And so they use pigeons a lot in the military in the bygone years. As a matter of fact, I just read an article recently. They've started using them again. Amen. But this John Silver pigeon, amen, he was sent up from a dugout at Grand Prix. The Meuse-Argonne offensive was just started. Amen. Important message had to be sent back to Rampont. Amen. 25 miles away. Amen. And the Germans, meanwhile, had laid down a furious bombardment prior to the attack. And they was being pushed down. Amen. And they released John, and he circled for a moment to get his bearings, which way to go home to Rampont. Amen. And these Marines watched anxiously as that, amen, bird headed through the devastating gunfire. Amen. And the men saw what appeared to be almost certain, amen, death for the pigeon. Amen. When one of those shells exploded next to him, and the concussion hurled him toward the ground, and shrapnel tore through his body. Amen. And then for a sickening moment, those Marines watched as that pigeon lunged toward the ground. Amen. But before he got to the earth, amen, he regained himself. Amen. And got back in flight and continued in 25 minutes later. Amen. Averaging a mile a minute, John Silver got the message at Rampont. Amen. Come on, y'all still with me? Amen. What a horrible sight he was when he got to Rampont. A machine gun bullet had pierced his breast. Bits of shrapnel had torn his body. His right leg was missing. Amen. But he delivered the message. Amen. The message tube was intact, hanging by the ligaments. Amen. From his body. Amen. But I want to tell you, he was determined. Amen. To get through the enemy lines. Amen. In our day, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers of the air, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we've got to come to realize we've got to fight if we're going enjoying the victory in these days. Amen. If you've got your mind made up for God, you can make it. Hello? Amen. If you've got your mind made up and got it in your heart to serve God, no matter. Now, I want to tell you, there's going to be a lot of troubles in life and temptations that will come your way. You think for 1 minute that you're going to walk across a flowery bed of ease or across a meadow leisurely in life and pick the daisies, amen, and get to heaven, amen, without any troubles or problems or difficulties. You got another thought coming. Amen. Life is full of adversities. Life is full of troubles. But there are some people in life that they are determined they're going to do something for God and live for God no matter what. Amen. I'm reminded, praise God, you put them in a prison, amen, and you wind up with a John Bunyan. Hallelujah. You put them in the snows of Valley Forge and you've got a George Washington. You put them on a dirt floor in a cabin in Kentucky and you got a Abraham Lincoln. Amen. There's some people that you can't stop. If they've got a determination, they're going forward. And that's an element that we've got to have in these last days. If we're going to be successful for God, you've got to make up your mind. Amen. You're going through the obstacles. Amen. Help me here. The straight and the narrow way. Amen. God said to Cyrus, I'll go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. Hello? God said it. It wasn't just Cyrus doing it. God said, I'll make the crooked places straight. Now, I want to tell you, this is probably the most crooked generation in America that has ever been produced. Man, I'm amazed at the number of people that were raised in holiness that now don't want anything to do with it. They almost hate it. They almost despise holiness preachers, holiness churches. You talk about, come on here, you talk about holy living, amen, and they'll turn around and walk off and leave you flat-footed. Come on here. I had a fellow come to my church here sometime. It's been several years ago now. Amen. Am I doing all right here? Amen. And he told me one night after church, he said, Brother Savage, I'm going to leave the church and I'm going so-and-so church down there. Hello. Y'all never had nobody down here like that, I'm sure. But he said, I'm going to go to certain church down there. And he told me what church it was. He said, the ladies can do things down there and dress ways that y'all won't allow here. Praise God. Help me here. I'm in trouble right here. Amen. He said, so I'm just going to go down there, and my wife feels more comfortable down there. Amen. Help me here. Glory to God. I looked at him, and I said, now, my dear friend, you've been in this church for, and I called the number of years he'd been there, and been there a long time. Amen. I don't know why it is people get their mind all messed up sometimes. Amen. But I said, now, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're telling me. Amen. He blamed it on his wife, but I said, you can blame it on her if you want to, but you're supposed to be the head of the house. I lost you there. Praise God. Amen. But I said, if I were you, I wouldn't stop there. Amen. I'd go on down another 2 miles down the road down there. And there's another church. Come on here. Amen. Where you can smoke. Amen. And amen. You know, just smoke a little and they still call you brother. And I said, well, to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't even stop there. If I were you and I wanted to do things like that, I'd just go on down the road another 10 miles. Amen. Help me here. And there's a church down there, and I called the name of the church because I knew it real well. Amen. I said, there, you can go to all the ball games. Amen. Come on here. And you can go to all the racetracks. Y'all got them down here, don't you? Amen. You can go to all the entertainment places of the world. And I said, you can even sip a little, amen, whiskey on the side, and they'll still let you be on the church board. Amen. But I want to tell you, we have a generation that does not want straight preaching. Amen. Give me just a little sugar coating. Give me just a little alibi. Give me just a little excuse. But I want to tell you, the word of God is still right. I was raised in holiness all my life. Amen. I have to acknowledge to you that in my young preaching years, I got associated with some folks that wasn't holiness. And I got back home one day, and my dear old daddy, praise God. Amen. Amen. Short feller. Amen. You didn't have to guess at what daddy said when he got through talking to you. Amen. He is very blunt. Amen. You folks from Vanceboro, you understand. Amen. Daddy was very blunt, man. He got a hold of me when I got back home one day, and he pointed his bony finger in my nose, and he said, Lindsay Savage, you wasn't raised like that. Am I doing all right here? Amen. Said, you wasn't raised like that. I didn't teach you like that, and you know better. You better get yourself out of that bunch and get yourself straightened out. And I did, and I'm glad I did. Hallelujah. Holiness is still right. It's still a straight way to glory. It's still a straight way to heaven. Praise God. A lot of folks in our generation don't like that, but it's still right. Amen. Straight and a narrow way. Full of difficulties, yes. Full of trials, yes. Full of temptations, yes. Full of enemies, yes. But we need God's help. And He's got enough of power to help us to overcome every temptation of life. Now I want to tell you something. Don't fall out with me here. I don't watch television. I don't have a television. If I go on a trip and stay in a motel, I don't watch television. Hello here. Somebody say amen now. I lost some of you on that shift. It's still right. I just don't watch television. But I want to tell you, we got a worse vice in our generation now than the television has ever thought of. And I understand, come on here, the computer and the internet is here, and we have to deal with it. Is anybody here now? Say amen. We have to deal with it. Amen. And every business, we at our Christian school, we have a Christian school at home. Whitney's graduating this year. Matter of fact, Saturday will be her graduation. We have our awards banquet tomorrow night at home. And we try to make our students able to function in the workplace. Are y'all still with me? To be able to function on a computer. I know it's here. I know it's here. But you know what? Amen. The computer is there, and we must deal with it. Amen. The internet is there, and a lot of folks have to work from home on the internet. Help me here. Whether you like it or don't like it is beside the point. They said, what are we going to do with it? The chat rooms are horrible. I'm off on the rabbit trail right here, but that's all right. Amen. The chat rooms is horrible. Amen. A lot of good couples has been busted up. Amen. Because of those dirty, rotten chat rooms. The pornography that's on the internet is unthinkable. Amen. It's worse than TV ever thought about being. Are y'all still with me? Amen. A preacher and a pastor asked me recently, they said, what are we going to do about it? How can we deal with it? I said to them this, amen, I said the problem is the heart. The Bible said is the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Amen. Is a wicked part of man. Come on, y'all stay with me. Amen. I said you can take the internet away. You can take the television away. Come on. You can take the computer away. You can take the radio away. And if that heart is wicked and filthy and dirty, it's going to find some vice and filth somewhere. Amen. But if the heart is pure, if the heart is righteous, if the heart is godly, if the heart is white, it's no. Amen. They will not be tempted. Amen. With the filthiness of this world, they'll shun it like the plague. Amen. I want to tell you, God's got to have some people in this day, amen, that live holiness. Amen. From their hearts. The first promise, God said, I will go before thee. Who is talking to Cyrus? Who's talking to Cyrus? It's not the president of the company. It's not the king on a throne. It's Almighty God. The same God that flung the Milky Way into existence. The flame, same God, amen, that flung the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, amen, and the morning stars and the constellations of the universe. That's the God that's talking to Cyrus. Amen. That's the God that called him by name 150 years before he was born. Amen. The same God that created and made Luray Caverns and Carlsbad Caverns and by the palm of his hand scooped out the Shenandoah Valley. Amen. And pushed up the mountain range. Hallelujah. The same God that blew his breath and created the desert. Amen. And made glory to God. Amen. The morning star to shine. That's the God that spoke to Cyrus. And God said, I'll go before you. Amen. I'll help you. Amen. If you have any difficulties in life, you understand what I'm saying. If you never had a problem, never had a temptation, never had a test, never had a trial, you don't know anything about what I'm talking about. But if you've had troubles, and you've had tests, and you've had difficulties, and you've had wayward children, amen, that you didn't know what to do with and how to help. Somebody say amen. If you've been perplexed, if you've been in perils, amen, if you've had sorrow, amen, and are surrounded by difficulties that you cannot surmount, amen, take courage in the Lord, because he said he would go before you and he would make the way that seemed to be impossible. When Cyrus brought his army to the walls of Babylon and looked 200 feet high and he saw how high they were and how thick they were, and amen, 100 gates, four on each side of the city, amen, 100 gates, 25 on each side, excuse me, amen, of the walls, amen, four sides and 25 gates on each side, and gates of brass and bars of iron and them locked. How is he going to penetrate through such, amen, a great barrier as that? But God said, God said, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to show you how. Amen. God took him a way around that he had never thought of. Praise God. And they diverted. Amen. Are y'all still with me? The great river that run through, amen, the city of Babylon and diverted the waters. Amen. And came underneath of the walls. Hey, I want to tell you, there's a God. Amen. That you don't know. Amen. How to get through the problem and the task and the trouble and the trials. But there's a God that said, I'll make a way where there seemed to be no way. Amen. God said, I'll break in pieces. Amen. Cyrus wanted to get into this city. Amen. He wanted to take possession. Amen. Of Babylon and the riches and the wealth that was on the inside. Amen. But when he took a survey, amen, it looked impossible. No way, amen, that he could ever. And I want to tell you, as long as you're standing on the outside, amen, looking at the circumstances, you will never obtain victory. Amen. You can look at circumstances long enough until after a while you'll get so disheartened and so discouraged you want to give up and quit. Amen. You'll quit the church. You'll quit a good church. Come on here. And you'll quit praying. Amen. Because you don't see any way possible. But there's a God. If you put your trust in Him, there is nothing impossible with the Lord. Amen. I remember years ago, I was a young pastor in church in Mesquite, Texas. There's a lady in our church in Mesquite, Texas. Her name was Opal Puckett. She's dead now. She's been dead for a number of years. And she was a godly woman, a praying woman. She stood up one night in church. I hadn't been there too long when she stood and testified. And amen, how the Lord had brought her through and helped her. When she first got saved, she didn't know anything at all about God. She didn't know anything about the church. She didn't know anything about the Bible. She hardly knew how to pray. And God was merciful to her and saved her. Really saved her. Somebody say amen. But Opal Puckett, amen, bless her heart. She was tormented with a fear. Amen. Something was going to get her. Something was going to kill her. She was tortured by this fear in her mind. Amen. They would go to store in the daytime, broad daylight. And when they come back, she'd make her husband, Houston Puckett, get out of the car first. Go in the house. Search the house over. Look under the bed. Look in the closet. Look under the table. Look behind the couch. Somebody's in there. Somebody's after me. Come on here. If you've never been tortured or tormented in your mind like that, you don't understand what it's like. And she said, amen, when she first became a Christian, she'd go home and lay down on her bed at night, and she'd try to go to sleep, and she'd drop off to sleep, and in her nightmares, she called them, these hideous green slimy monsters would come into her bedroom, amen, and they'd make all kind of hideous screaming sounds, and they would torment her and torture her all through the night in her dreams. Until she'd wake up the next morning, amen, just the bed wet with perspiration, amen, from the torture of those hideous-looking monsters. And she said one night she was reading her Bible when she went to bed, and she went to sleep reading the Bible. Somebody said, that's a terrible thing to do. No, I think it's a wonderful thing to do. What better, amen, way to go to sleep than go to sleep praying? Amen. Come on here. Y'all stay with me. She went to sleep reading her Bible, and her Bible being open fell across her chest. And she said she slept soundly all night with no tormenting, amen, hideous dreams. said one night, glory to God, I'm feeling better right here. She said one night, amen, she went to bed and these hideous green slimy monsters came into her room screaming and said they was going to torture her and kill her. Amen. And she said in the night, amen, there was a voice that came into that room. She said it was a strong voice. It was a powerful voice. Amen. And the voice said, ye are of God, little children, and are overcome. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And she said the voice did not come from the window or the door. She said that voice came out of her own mouth. Amen. I want to tell you, God's still on the throne, and he will take care of his children. And from that night till she died, she was never tortured and tormented again. Ye are of God, little children, and are overcome. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Say amen. God said, I'll do it. It may not be the means by which you think God will do it. You may think God's going to, amen, bring a stick of dynamite and blow them brass doors and gates of iron wide open. But God's got other ways that he doesn't always do it the way we think he ought to. Hello. Amen. We have a man in our church at home. Amen. His liver went bad.
I mean bad liver. He was dying, man. I mean dying. Liver.
Amen. Corrupted. And he was in a dying condition. And a lot of times he was one of the most faithful men of the church until he got so sick. Sometimes he is unable to come to church at all. Couldn't do his work in his yard. Amen. Got weaker. And his countenance became pale and yellowish in color. And finally, they got him a liver transplant. Now, the doctor told him, he said, now, we're going to give you this liver transplant, but you'll be in intensive care for at least a week and probably 2 weeks. And then in the hospital, amen, under close observation for another 3 weeks to a month. Amen. A month and a half total in the hospital. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. He's a good man. And he's probably been one of my best supporters in the 31 years that I have pastored there. Amen. And when the church prayed for him, we prayed for him. Went to visit him in the hospital. Had prayer with him. Amen. He went in the hospital on a Tuesday morning. They did surgery Tuesday evening. Amen. 1 week from that Tuesday, he was home. Praise God. Amen. The medical doctors at University Hospital in Charlottesville, amen, said, Mr. Pullen, you are a miracle. He said, we have never, ever had anybody to do like this. He said, you are supposed to be sick. You are supposed to be in intensive care. He was in intensive care 2.5 days. Amen. Help me here. Glory to God. God doesn't always do things like we think he ought to. Amen. Like we think he should. Like we think he's going to. He's got alternatives. He's got another way. Amen. And when God does it, we have to acknowledge it. It's God's doings. And when God made a way for Cyrus to take the city of Babylon, amen. Amen. Cyrus had to stand back and say, this is God's doings. And the Bible tells us that other heathen kings acknowledged that God helped, amen, Cyrus Oh, I want to tell you tonight, amen, there is nothing impossible with God. I don't know what your trial is. I don't know what your city of Babylon is. I don't know what your gates of brass and bars of iron are. Amen, I know it's not Babylon, and I know it's not a wall, literally. Amen, but you're battling things. You've got obstacles. You've got trials. You've got tests. Amen, but I want to tell you, there's a God that says, I'm going to help you, amen, through every one of them. Amen. I'm older. Let's put it that way. Older than I used to be. Didn't take much to figure that out. I come along. I started preaching in the early 1950s. And I've been preaching most all my life. I pastored my first church at 16 years of age in Fort Myers, Florida. And not even married. But it's a Pentecostal Holiness church. I was in the Pentecostal Holiness organization in those years. And so I've been preaching most of my life. About 52 years. Amen. For the work of God. Now, and I said that to say this. I've come through a lot of changes in the church world. Hello. We came through the years of the 40s and 50s where there was great revivals swept this country. Whether you like them or didn't like them is beside the point. But there was marvelous miracles and healings in those years. Amen. Come on here. Somebody say amen. There was a sweeping revival, tent meetings, citywide meetings. And one preacher that I know that prayed for the sick pretty regular in his services, amen. Somebody asked him one night, said, what would you do if you prayed for the first 10 people that came for prayer, and after you prayed for each one of them, all 10 of them fell over dead? Amen. He said, I'd holler, next, please. What would you do? God doesn't change. Come on here. He's still in the healing business. I believe in divine healing. Is anybody here tonight believe in divine healing? Do you believe that there's a God that knows how to touch and take care of His people? Praise God. I want to tell you, there's a God that's still on the throne. Those years of the 40s and 50s are long gone. Hey, man, come on here. Man got his hand in it in the late 50s, early 60s, and wanted the glory for themselves. Hey, man, and God withdrew His hand of miracle-working power for years. But I want to tell you, God's still on the throne. And I've seen God heal the sick in our church. Amen. And I'm sure probably right here in Martinsville, there's been a miracle working power of God that has touched many a saint of God and healed them. Glory to God. Are y'all still with me? In our home church, amen. Some years ago now, there's a lady in our church by the name of Sister Bessie. Amen. Some of you may know her. I know Whitney and Amber know her. I'm trying to get the right words that I want to say here. She's a very particular woman. I mean, every hair is in place. I mean, she comes to church. She's not dignified, but she's a dignified looking woman. She carries herself well. Are y'all still with me? Hello here. Y'all act just like you don't know a thing in the world about what I'm talking about. Amen. Sister Bessie came to church one night. She came in late. Amen. And at the church at home, I got a lot of people that come in late, so that's nothing out of the ordinary, Brother Roger. Amen. But I wish they wouldn't, but there's some that do. We start at 7 o'clock every service at home, and a lot of folks don't get home to 6 or 6:30. So they come late. Amen. I'd rather see them there then than not at all. I love some of you right there too. Praise God. Amen. But anyhow, she came late to church one night, and service went on. We preached, had a wonderful altar service. And after altar service, we dismissed the congregation. Most everybody had gone, just a handful of saints left. And we was going around shaking hands of folks. And my wife spoke to me across the congregation. She said, "Brother Savage, have you seen Sister Bessie?" She was still there. I said, "No, she hasn't come by the door yet. I haven't shaken hands with her." Amen. She said, "Come here and look at her." Sister Bessie had had a stroke that afternoon late. Her whole side of this side of her body had a stroke. Amen. She couldn't walk straight. She couldn't use this hand. Her eyelids had drooped. Her mouth was twisted. Amen. And this side of her face had drooped. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And she came to church through service, she never said a thing in the world about needing prayer. We didn't know she needed prayer, was sick. And at the end of the service, when we looked at her, just a handful of saints there. Amen. And we said, "Let's pray." Praise God. Are y'all still with me? Y'all believe in praying down here? Amen. So we laid hands on her. Amen. And prayed for just a handful of saints. Maybe five of the saints of God beside me and my wife there. Amen. Laid hands on Sister Bessie and prayed for her. And the power of God came down that night and touched her body. Amen. She's a very particular woman about, amen, the way she carries herself. And when the power of God and the Holy Ghost anointing hit her, amen, she went to shaking her head and her body went to shaking and she shook her hair plumb down. Amen. And she shouted for a while and her hair cracked like a buggy whip. Amen. For the power of God was on her. Glory to God. Are y'all still with me? I haven't seen Sister Bessie shout like that. Amen. I've been there 31 years and I could count on one hand the number of times I've seen her shout. But she shouted that night. Praise God. Amen. And after she got through shouting, she said, "I feel like God's healed me." Her face was still drawn. Amen. She said, "My children wanted me to go to the emergency room. But she said, I felt like I needed to come to God's house first." Amen. I want to tell you, most of the time now we got the opposite. Amen. Help me here. She said, "I felt like I needed to come to church." Amen. And get prayed for. Glory to God. The next service she came back, she said, "I went to the university hospital. They checked me over, examined and acknowledged that I had had a stroke." But she came back to church the next service. Amen. Her face was straight. Amen. Her moving, and she was healed by the power of God. I want to tell you, there's a God. Amen. I don't know what your gates of brass are and your bars of iron, but there's a God in heaven that knows how to get you through it. There are treasures on the inside. Amen. I said there are treasures. Did you know the Bible said healing is your children's bread? It's yours. From the time Brother Prescott called me, amen, I felt this to preach this message tonight. And I don't know who you are, amen, but I feel like there's somebody tonight that's battling and fighting against the opposition of the enemy that wants to discourage you, amen, and keep you from victory and the treasures that are on the inside of the walls that God says you can have it. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you tonight, don't be afraid to trust God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Brother Ira Yates is here. Amen. He's an old timer like myself. Amen. And I remember in the early years of the Pentecostal Holiness organization, they prayed for the sick in almost every service. Before they left, At some point in time, they would pray for the sick. Hey, amen. Come on here. Hey, amen. We almost got away from that in the wholeness movement. But I want to tell you, God's still on the throne. Prayer changes things. He's still a healer. Hey, amen. If we can just muster up enough faith inside of us, hey, amen, to be able to say, I'm going to trust God. Hey, amen. No matter what comes or goes in my life, hey, amen, there's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. I've told young people and young preachers through the years, don't be afraid to trust God. Don't care what the circumstances are, the situation is. This book is right. Amen. If you can put your trust in God, amen. He may not take you through the gates of brass and the bars of iron, but you'll dig underneath. And you'll come up and open the gates from the inside and take everything that's in there for God. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight for the Holy Ghost. It's our strength and our help. And we pray, Lord, tonight that You'll do a work in people's hearts. Help us, God, in spite of all the troubles and the situations of life that have come to this people. We ask You for Your miracle working power, that You'll get in the arrangements and work where it seems like it is impossible. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Let's everybody stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me just a little volume, brother. I don't know as I've done this, and I don't know when. But I feel like we got somebody here tonight that is struggling to trust God. There's nothing impossible with God. I don't know what your walled city is. I don't know what your... It may be in your home. It may be in your body. It may be difficulties in the workplace. But I'm here to tell you, put your trust in God. There's nothing impossible with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. I just wonder tonight, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if there's somebody in this congregation that'll lift your hand and say, Preacher, amen, it's me. I've been battling. Amen. I've really been struggling. I don't know whether it's physically, financially, domestically, but I can tell you there's a God that has the answer to every situation in life. Is there one that'll raise your hand tonight, Preacher? Amen. I need the help of the Lord. God bless you, sister. Is there another? God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Amen. Is there anybody else here tonight? Amen. That you need, desperately need the help of God. Oh, Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I wonder, hallelujah, if these that raised your hand, if you just step out and come around this altar and let the saints of God gather around you and lay hands on you in the name of the Lord and see if God won't move in your behalf. Come on. Come on. Come on, sister. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Maybe somebody else here. Maybe somebody else here tonight. I want to come with these. Hallelujah. There's nothing impossible with the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing impossible. He's a miracle worker. I said He's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker.
Glory to God. I said, he's a miracle worker. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's a God that's still on the throne. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to come right now? We're going to gather around them in just a minute. Anybody else want to come? Feel like Brother Savage? Amen. I've got to have help from God to get through this. Amen. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Come on, saints. Gather around these. Hallelujah. Let's lay hands on them. And saints of God, join together. Praying for them. Praying with them. Come on. Hey.